To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. Oh, really? We're quoting from the epistle reading for this coming fifth Sunday after the Epiphany, but we're going to examine it on this Monday, February the 2nd, in the year of our Lord 2015. Hi, I'm Pastor Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO Radio. And as is our custom on Mondays, we like to take a look at least one of the readings for the coming Sunday, which, as I indicated, is the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. Readings are from Isaiah 40, 1 Corinthians 9, and Mark chapter 1. Now, 1 Corinthians 9 is where Paul says, to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. And in the promo, I asked, boy, does that mean that he committed criminal acts just so that he could be simpatico with those outside the law? And they would recognize him as a friend? Well, we're going to need to take a look at that. And how do we take a look as to what Scripture means? We use Scripture interprets Scripture. So, beginning with verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 9, we're going to go through this so that when we reach verse 21, you'll have an idea as to what Paul means by being outside the law. Verse 19, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. Okay, what does he mean that he's free from all? Therefore, he makes himself a servant to all that I might win more of them. Well, he's going to explain what he means by that. In the very next verse, to the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. Well, what does that mean? Well, in this case, Jews would be those who have not yet come into the Christian faith, and they have various ceremonial laws that they follow. I myself have done this. My best friend when I was in school, his name was Don Gardner, and he was Jewish. And we got along really well, but I'll tell you, any time that we would invite him over to the house to eat, we would not have pork. See, I'm free to eat all the pork I want, but because that's unclean food for the Jew, I wouldn't force that on him. Why? Because I didn't want something coming between us that would ruin our friendship. And in those days, I wasn't quite thinking about sharing with him the gospel of Jesus Christ and making sure, but it just seemed natural that you don't do something inappropriate to someone. For example, there are occasions when I visit a home and they don't allow smoking. Now, I don't smoke, but let's say I did smoke. Well, obviously, I wouldn't smoke in their house. I'm free to smoke a cigarette, but that doesn't mean that I should. So what he is saying here is that, yes, I'm free from all things. I can eat pork. I can smoke. I can drive a car on the Sabbath. I remember I had an elder whose daughter actually babysat Jewish folks. And on Friday night, if they got home too late and it was near midnight, they could not drive her home, because they were part of the Jewish faith that said you weren't allowed to drive a vehicle on Saturday. So they would phone her dad, and he would come and pick them up. Now, did we get real angry at them for that? No. We're free to drive, but they were not. So this is what is talking about here. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law. Now, what's he talking about there? Well, under the law means that they would follow house rules. For example, we have Christian churches that have this idea that the way you get to heaven is by no longer sinning. So in order to keep you from sinning, they have house rules that keep you from doing things that could lead to sin. They don't allow dancing. They don't allow drinking. They don't allow gambling. Now, are any of those sin in and of themselves? No. But there's no doubt that gambling can lead to sin. Unfortunately, we had a Lutheran wife's pastor commit suicide because she had such a problem with gambling that she was taking money reserved for the kids for college, and of course, she lost it all. So, yes, gambling can be a problem. But we don't go so far to say, therefore, if you buy a lottery ticket, you can't take communion that Sunday. No. No, you can use your money within your means. For example, I don't go to football or baseball games because, to me, the money spent on there, I would prefer to spend in another area. But does that mean that those who do go are sinning? No. You're free to go or not to go. So to those under the law, you know, those who think that, boy, by stopping from doing these things, I'm going to be saved, I'm not going to go to them and do it in front of them. I'll become as one under the law. Though, listen to what the next part is. This is verse 20. Though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. So, just because some Christians have some rules about the law that they don't allow certain things to happen, I'm not going to do those things in front of them, even though I myself don't live under the law. Living under the law means you're living under the delusion that your works do make a difference as to whether you go to heaven or hell. I know this sounds ridiculous because it's so against common sense. But your behavior does not make a difference to God as to whether or not you're his child. Oh, you think that's strange? Aren't you a parent? Does the behavior of your children make a difference as to whether or not they're your children? Of course not. Now, we would hope that children would behave and do what we ask them to do. But no, that's not going to happen. And so there's a perfect example where the unbridled bad behavior of a child does not forfeit them the right of being your child. You see, in Christianity, you're a child of God, not by your behavior, not by your works, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And God recognizes it really doesn't matter how much faith you have, you will continue to sin. Going on with then verse 21. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. Now, once more, we have a parenthetical phrase. Not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. Now, who are those outside the law? As soon as I talk about somebody saying, well, they're without the law or outside the law, you think that's criminal behavior. No, no, no. Paul probably here is referring to Gentiles. Well, what he's saying is very clear. He is not going to force Gentiles to adopt Jewish ceremonies. In fact, in his argument with the Apostle Paul, remember the Apostle Paul had to be criticized, I'm sorry, the Apostle Peter had to be criticized by the Apostle Paul. It's found in Galatians chapter 2, verse 12 and following. For before certain men came from James, now that means from Jerusalem. So here's Jews from Jerusalem coming from the pastor James. Peter was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. You see, you're only supposed to eat with people who have been circumcised. But he was eating with the Gentiles before they came. And Paul goes on to say, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him. so that even Barnabas was led away by their hypocrisy. So it looked like Barnabas sided with Peter. Now listen what Paul says. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, now listen to what he says to Peter. If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, okay, remember, he was eating with Gentiles before those Jews from Jerusalem came, so he was living like a Gentile and not like a Jew. Now listen to the question. How can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? You see, a lot of people don't understand that both the commandments, as well as ceremonial law, were primarily for the Jewish people. Now the first one, of course, was for all people. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But, for example, one of the things that the Jews had to obey was the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That was not a law for Gentiles because they didn't have a Sabbath day. And so some of not only the Ten Commandments, but all of the ceremonial laws were meant specifically for the chosen people, not for the Gentiles. But when Jesus came, it was made very clear that all of those ceremonial laws were abrogated. That means they did not have to take place in the lives of the Gentiles. So when Paul says in this verse 20, that 21, to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, he's referring here to the Jewish ceremonial laws. I'll give you an example. You had Timothy and Titus. The one he circumcised and the other he did not. Well, why did he circumcise the one? Because it was important to, in talking to Jews, that they would kind of only listen to people who had been circumcised. And so he circumcised one of them in order that they might have a conversation with those who had been circumcised. But the other one he didn't. And you know why he didn't? Because the people around there said, if he's not circumcised, he's not saved. And in order to make the point that you don't have to be circumcised to be saved, Paul did not do that. So there's another good example where, even though there were those who were under the law, he refused to follow them under the law when they insisted that was the only way of salvation. But if they didn't insist on that, then they would. It would be like, I remember I had a member of the congregation who delivered flowers. And he would take them to a Jewish synagogue. You know, they would order flowers. Guess what? He wore a skull cap. And one day he came in, and you have to have a set number of men in order to have a worship service. I think in that case it was 10, and they only had 9. And they asked him, would he stay so they could have the worship service? And then he explained, I'm sorry, I'm not Jewish, I'm Lutheran. But he still wore the skull cap because he wanted to make it clear that he didn't want to offend them. And so there's another good example. Though you're not under the law, you became as one under the law. And what Paul is saying here when he says to those outside the law, now he's not referring to Jews, he's referring to Gentiles. Not that he was outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. So there were some parts of the law that he continued to obey, such as the Ten Commandments, but no longer did he need to obey the ceremonial laws. He even talks about, you know, don't make a big deal about Sabbath and circumcision, etc. Why? Because those ceremonial laws have been put in place to warn people that they were sinners. Look what they had to do. Every time they sinned, the smallest of sin, they had to do some kind of sacrifice. Sometimes it was a money sacrifice, a cereal, grain sacrifice. Sometimes it was an animal, depending on the severity of the sin. Oh, were they looking forward to the time of Jesus when he would free them from having to outwardly pay for all these sacrifices. Not that they ever did pay for them. The book of Hebrews makes very clear that all of the ceremonial laws, not one of them brought the forgiveness of sins. But they did what the law was to do, and that is to wake you up to the fact that you are failing. And therefore, the only way to win salvation is to look outside of yourself to none other than Jesus Christ. Now, going on down the line, after we've seen that he became as a Jew, he became as a Gentile. Now, verse 22, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. What does he mean by that? Well, there were some Gentiles who had belonged to various cults where they sacrificed animals to the idols. And there was this kind of thinking that if you partook of the food sacrificed to the idol, then you really became like the idol. You became part of that religion. Well, after they became Christian, they found that, well, they would go to eat at a Christian's home, and here the Christian had bought meat that had been sacrificed to idols, and they didn't want to touch it because they still were weak in the faith, not recognizing that that meat had no power over them at all, but they thought it did. And so Paul says, you know, if you got somebody who's afraid to eat meat offered to idols, that means they're weak in the faith, do not offer them that, lest you bind their conscience. They think they then sin, and they could fall from the faith. So weak refers to those Christians who have certain conditions that they want met, or else they don't feel appropriate. I remember one family we would go to, the wife always wanted us to take off our shoes. The rugs were very beautiful and they were clean, etc. Well, I don't take my shoes off in my house, but I sure did in hers. Did I think she was wrong? No. That's just something you do. In fact, I just saw a movie where a few people walked into a Chinese restaurant and they were told by the maitre d' that they needed to take off their shoes. And of course, the one said, no, I'm not going to do that. And the reason he wouldn't is because he had a tape recorder hidden in his shoes. He was an undercover agent. And it was very interesting. He didn't have to take off their shoes. And the poor waiter got beat up by the crooks. But be that as it may, there are things where people are saying things and you don't do them just because that's the way they think. Now, some of it becomes out of a weakness of faith. Taking your shoes off when you go into a house, that's not a weakness of faith. But other things might be. For example, you might have somebody who says, boy, if we don't pray before we have a meal, I tell you, then guess what? God doesn't bless that food. Well, there's many a times when I haven't done a prayer in front of other people because whom I'm talking to. Let's say Jewish folks, you're not going to pray to Jesus, but you might have a prayer to yourself. So it's not necessary to have a vocal prayer. The point I'm trying to make here is summarized in verse 22. Paul says, I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. What's the point he's making? You can put hindrances or obstacles in front of people hearing your message by the way you act, by the way you dress. I guarantee that next time I preach, and I'm preaching at Rolla this weekend, and we're doing a seminar, by the way, on Saturday. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But if I show up in a bathing suit, and that's all I'm wearing to do the preaching, to give out the Lord's Supper, there's going to be a lot of people upset. And yet, if I'm in Los Angeles and I'm down on the beach and I have a ministry there where everybody's wearing a bathing suit, maybe that's what you're going to wear, collar or not. The fact of the matter, you become all things to all people in order that nothing stands in the way of your coming to them with good news. For example, when our missionaries are sent out around the world, I know some of them go to Concordia Seminary in St. Louis for a few weeks of study concerning the culture of a particular a place they're going. For example, some people, when they have a meal, they eat meat by tearing it off of, say, a chicken and eating it with their fingers. And then here you come with a fork and a knife. They're going to be offended. And you need to know that. So you eat the way they eat, even though you're not used to that. In other words, we do what Paul says here. We become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. And listen what he says in verse 23. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. I think of Jesus on the cross. And you know, at the beginning of the crucifixion, both thieves railed against Jesus. Well, can you imagine Jesus saying to both thieves, you know, you really ought not do that. I'm the Son of God, and I deserve better credit given to me than you're giving to me. That would probably, you know, they probably wouldn't listen to anything else he said. But instead, Jesus fulfilled his mission. He continued, like them, to hang on the cross. But then he said things like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's those words that brought that one thief to faith. And that's why he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you shall be with me in paradise. Those are tremendous words. And it is the words of Jesus that bring people to faith. Yes, he remained on the cross like them. The one thief even finally made the comment, you know, to the other thief, why are you yelling at him? Because we deserve what we're getting. He does not deserve what he is receiving. Yes, Jesus was innocent in going to the cross, but he took upon himself our sin. And remember when he took upon himself that sin? It was when, guess what? He was baptized. In being baptized, he became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Nobody became more of a servant than Jesus did for the sake of saving us through the gospel. Even with the Romans, remember, he paid the taxes to Rome. Whose inscription? Give to Caesar what is Caesar. Give to God what is God's. So he was patriotic towards the Romans, which really turned off a lot of people. But remember, even the centurion came to faith. And to be a centurion, you had to be Roman. Well, we're going to be talking more about this in the next few weeks. I have two seminars I want to let you know about. If you're in the Rolla, Missouri area, I believe the church, I think it's Emmanuel, I'm going to, on next Saturday night, there's a seminar, but if you want to hear me the next morning, I'll be doing both worship services and the Bible study. That's in Rolla, Missouri, this weekend. Then we really want you to think about this. On the 21st of February, that's a Saturday, at Emmanuel Lutheran Church between 1 and 4:30 p.m., I'm going to be doing something I haven't done for a while. I'm doing a whole bunch of videos to explain law and gospel. And the theme for that day is going to be, how do I know, how can I be sure that I'm going to heaven? We're going to have videos. There's going to be refreshments. And also, anyone, it's $20 for adults, $15 for youth in college and below. Anybody who comes gets a free book, and some of those books I sell for $17 each. So If you come, get a book, has some refreshments. Actually, the seminar wouldn't cost you anything then because the cost of the book is $17. How do you register for it? You go to my website, lawandgospel101.com. Law and that's A-N-D, gospel101.com. And then as soon as it opens up, you'll see a little bar at the top, seminars. And on you click on that, and you can sign up right there using a credit card and pay your way. And I'd be glad to, you know, take care of you on that. Saturday, February the 21st. I guarantee you, when you walk out of that seminar, you will know things in a way that you hadn't heard of them before. That's what Law and Gospel does. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, with the help of Mark Smith, we're going to be taking a look at a hymn, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.